Welcome to The Gift of Grace with Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar. The Gift of Grace is a program where we read and teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah. And now, here's your host, Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar.
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to The Gift of Grace on the Word 1220. This is Phil Gigliotti here with my good friend Stephen Garchar.
Hi, Phil. How are you doing this evening?
Real good. How are you?
I'm good. I just stuck around from last week to so I wouldn't be late.
He's got a cot here at the
studio. I wouldn't be stuck in traffic, yeah. I thought the show was never going to get here. Man, it was a long week.
What would you do all week?
Took a nap.
Wow.
Rip Van Winkle.
That's a lot of sleep.
Yeah, I was kind of tired.
You sleep on this cot here?
Yeah, there's a cot in the back.
Well, anyway, here we are on Sunday night again, and we're well past Pentecost.
Yes, but we're still talking about it.
Still talking about it, because you can never have enough Pentecost, and Pentecost is ongoing.
And it is, yes.
I think we've talked about Peter probably quite a bit.
Yeah.
I mean, I think you can get to a limit on Peter. But not on Pentecost. Ooh, I better watch it.
Yeah, I was just going to say, you might want to tone it down a bit there.
Ooh. So we're going to, you know, of course, as we talked before, Jesus gives all of these men the Great Commission. And then Holy Spirit falls on them at Pentecost morning. Mm-hmm. They're all baptized in the Holy Spirit. They're all radically changed.
Yes.
They're all empowered. And as we talked about on one show some time ago, that Jesus gave them the order to do it, but the Holy Spirit gave them the power so that they could do it. He gave them the commission. The Holy Spirit gave them the power. And we talked quite a bit about Peter speaking on Pentecost morning and then speaking, after the man is cured at the Gate Beautiful and evangelizing the crowd. And when he was done with that, he thought, well, when we get to Acts chapter 8, maybe those guys can talk about somebody else rather than me. Oh, no, wait a minute. He didn't have Acts chapter 8.
No, not yet.
No. But we're going to start with Acts chapter 8 because we're going to see what was going on with everybody else. And we spent a little bit of time talking about Philip, not me, the other one, and maybe a little bit of time talking about Paul.
This isn't about you?
It's not about me. It's not about me. And we're talking about signs and wonders, and we're talking about power, and we're talking about evangelization. And, you know, we're in a time now of new evangelization.
Yes.
And if you've listened to us for any period of time, or if you know us personally, you know we always like to say it's time to just go out there and do the ministry and not keep having meetings.
Let's have some meetings.
Yeah.
We like meetings.
Yeah, and you want to be open to the Spirit who provides you the power to do the evangelization.
Yes.
And is the power of every ministry. And we talked about how Peter found that out, and the other 119 people in that upper room found it out. Mm-hmm. And Philip, who was also in that upper room.
Not you, but the other one.
The other one.
Okay.
Yeah. No, not me. Oh, man. No, I wasn't there.
Okay.
That would have been awesome
just
to be
checking,
there.
Just checking.
That would have been awesome to be there.
Yeah, that would have been.
Yeah. But I've been in what's thought to be the upper room a handful of times in Jerusalem.
So you were there.
I was,
but
there was a lot less going on when I was there.
I gotcha.
At one point, a stray cat walked in. Then we played with him for a while.
Where's the other disciples at?
But it was
this cat.
Yeah. So, and it was kind of neat to sit there and read the scriptures and pray. And, today we're going to talk, and Philip, who was in the upper room, we're going to have Stephen read from Acts chapter 8, verses 4 to 8, and then we'll talk about that a little bit. So why don't you go ahead and do that.
Now those who had been scattered went about preaching the word. Thus Philip went down to the city of Samaria and proclaimed the Messiah to them. With one accord the crowds paid attention to what was said by Philip. When they heard it and saw the signs he was doing, for unclean spirits crying out in a loud voice, came out of many possessed people, and many paralyzed and crippled people were cured. There was great joy in that city.
Ooh.
Wow.
That's pretty neat.
Yeah.
So again, well, first let's talk about Philip a second. Philip is, you know, was one of the apostles, who was, I'm sure, kind of a nice guy. And he said to Jesus, you know, why don't you just show us the Father and then we'll get this.
Yeah.
And Jesus says, Philip, you've been with me for 3 years and you still don't get it. You still don't know me like you think you do. And, you know, it's, he didn't understand, of course, not that we would have understood it at the time.
Right.
But Jesus thought that he should have understood this a little bit better.
Right.
Now, he was the one, he went and got Nathaniel. He was, you know, all excited that they found the Messiah. And, but now you see the difference. Now, he's filled with the Spirit. And instead of saying, well, you know, Lord, if you just show us the Father, then maybe we'll get what you're talking about. Now he's in Samaria. So that says a lot right there, but we're not going to belabor that point. But Jesus had told them not to go to Samaria. Jesus went through there to speak to the woman at the well, whose name we don't know, but you can go back into the archives of the radio show and listen to the story about the woman at the well. But the rest of the time he told them they were to preach to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, not to go to Samaria, not to go to the Gentile lands. Now the Great Commission is you're going to start in Judea, which is Judah, go through Samaria, go to the ends of the earth. So here's Philip in Samaria.
Mm-hmm.
And he went all through Samaria preaching the word in the city of Samaria, preaching the word. And it says he preached Christ to them. He told them about the Messiah. He didn't go there and say, let me tell you what happened to me and Peter and some guys. He preaches the gospel to them. He preaches the Messiah to them. And it's a very powerful speech, obviously, because it says that there's multitudes there and they're listening with one accord. Now, we talked about one accord when the 120 were in the upper room and they were praying for 9 days. Then the Holy Spirit came. They were all baptized in the Spirit. They were there praying in one accord. So here it says the multitude was there, and with one accord, they were listening to what Philip was telling them. And they were seeing how excited and intense this was. And then they saw the result of it, which was unclean spirits crying out and coming out of people that were possessed, paralyzed people, lame people that were being healed,
mm-hmm.
great joy in the city. So there was this outpouring of signs and wonders because Philip, and
yeah,
when you get to heaven, you're allowed to call him Phil, but not now. So
no.
When Philip was there, under the power of the Spirit, he's preaching the gospel. And like we talked about last week, you go back to Isaiah 61, the Messianic kingdom is going to be people being set free. So people here are being set free from demons.
Mm-hmm.
Blind people are going to see. Deaf people are going to hear. Lame people are going to walk.
Right.
And you got all this going on in, of all places, Samaria.
Samaria. Who would ever thunk that?
Yeah. I mean, what's this world coming to? There's Samaritans understanding the gospel.
Now, Samaritans were a half-breeds.
And yes.
The Jews really didn't like them too well.
Right.
Because they were intermarried.
Yes.
Intermixed.
They didn't like them at all.
Okay. Not at
and
all.
They had, no. they recognized the books of Moses, but that was the only scripture that they recognized.
Four or five?
Five.
Five. Okay. Five books of Moses.
And they had this crazy idea that, the God of Israel, which they recognized was their God, other people had other gods, and that was cool. But their God was the God of Israel. But if somebody else wanted another God, you know, that was okay too.
Okay. Now, the Samaritans also, they worshiped on Mount Gerizim, right?
They did.
Because Jesus told the woman at the well about that. Like that you worship.
Yes.
That you worship what you don't know is what
right.
she was telling her.
That's
what
right.
he was telling her.
That's right.
So, I forgot what I was going to say.
Yeah.
So, now, Philip is obviously baptized in the Holy Spirit,
mm-hmm.
and he is Well, the disciples were scattered because there was a persecution of the church that broke out mm-hmm. after Stephen was put to death.
Not you.
Not me
one.
With the other one. That was close. That's close. Saul, you know, he held all the cloaks of everybody when mm-hmm. they stoned him. So, you know, there's this persecution of the church, and it's almost like, you know, when you have a fire and you try to stamp it out,
mm-hmm.
and the embers are really hot and they go all over the place, and it starts other little fires.
Yeah.
It's exactly what starts to happen here. Is even though there's a persecution of the church, the disciples are dispersed and they go out. Now, the contrast between when Jesus was arrested and tried and crucified, they dispersed, but they were in fear.
Yeah. With good reason.
with good reason. They didn't have the power of the Holy Spirit yet. They were in fear of their lives. They didn't understand this yet.
They didn't have the book of Acts.
No. And up until this point, only the first seven chapters were published. So they were still. So, yeah, they could just download those on their iPad and just keep up to date as Dr. Luke was transcribing. But the parallel is that when Jesus was tried and put to death, they scattered.
Mm-hmm.
They were dispersed, but they didn't do any evangelizing. They were in fear of their lives. Here, the church is being persecuted. People are being arrested and thrown into prison because they believe that Jesus is the Messiah.
Mm-hmm.
But when they are dispersed, they continue to preach that Jesus is the Messiah.
Mm-hmm.
They continue to proclaim the gospel and to spread the good news. There's forgiveness there's forgiveness of sins in the name of Jesus. So, and as you said, there's people that are paralyzed who are now walking.
Yeah.
This didn't happen before Jesus.
That's right.
None of this happened before Jesus.
Yeah. That's right.
And there were many possessed people. Unclean spirits came out of them, crying out a loud voice.
Yeah.
Same people thing that would happen.
Free, yeah.
People were being set free. And this is what, you know, as you said, this is what was prophesied in Isaiah, mm-hmm. that the blind are going to see, the lame are going to walk, the deaf are going to hear, the mute will speak.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
liberty to the captives.
And that was, you know, 700 and some years before Messiah. And you brought up a good point. You know, when Jesus is arrested, they scatter.
Mm-hmm.
And they're scared.
Yeah.
You know, there's a, I can't remember where it is. It's one of the Psalms, you know, strike the shepherd and the sheep will flee.
Right.
Which is what happened that night.
Mm-hmm.
But now in that passage, you know, it talks about how they were scattered around preaching the word. Each of these guys and women too, presumably, but each of these men who had been baptized by the Spirit on Pentecost morning, they went somewhere and did something. They were scattered around.
Yeah.
So here's Philip in Samaria.
Of all places.
He gets kind of transported there, interestingly. But he's there, and it says he's preaching Christ to them. He's not preaching anything else, which I really like about this. He's not preaching any kind of theology, any kind of stories of his experiences. He's talking about Christ, and that's what he's preaching. You know, it's kind of like when Paul in Corinthians says, I just preach Christ and Christ crucified. I don't want to know anything else except Christ and Christ crucified.
Mm-hmm.
And when he does that preaching, you see the power comes out.
Yes.
You see the Spirit comes. These things, well, first of all, you see he is preaching in the Spirit. This is a long way from the guy who says, well, you know, why don't you just show us the Father?
I was just going
to
say, yeah.
And, you know, just show him to us, and then we'll be cool with this.
It's almost like when the Pharisees said, how long are you going to keep us in suspense?
Yeah, yeah.
Are you the Messiah?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or there's some Greeks that came up to Philip and said, we want to see Jesus. And he says, holy cow, there's Greeks here that want to see Jesus. What are we going to do?
Yeah.
This is a different guy.
Yeah, totally. Totally transformed. Totally transformed. Just like Peter was transformed. So, as Peter, you know, not Peter, as Philip's there in Samaria, he is proclaiming the Messiah to them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as you said, nothing else.
That's the important thing.
Just the Messiah. And that's where, you know, that's where, if you look at their teaching, their how they evangelized, they all talked about the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
The Messiah.
That's right. Exactly.
The most important thing is the Messiah, because without the Messiah, there's nothing to talk about.
That's right.
You know, in our day, a lot of people talk about a lot of things. They use up a lot of oxygen doing
yeah,
it too.
And
they don't talk about the Messiah.
I keep thinking back to that series we did on the cross. That's like, I think, my favorite series that we did.
Yeah.
And that was probably
nine. It was nine shows.
There were nine shows.
Yep.
That was probably at least 2 years ago. Maybe it was 3 years ago.
Yeah.
I'll have to go to giftofgraceministries.org and look that up. But and unfortunately, even in many churches, we've gotten away from the cross being the center.
Mm-hmm.
And we've turned to other things, tried to make them the center.
Yeah.
And, you know, as you're saying that too, I'm thinking about, in John's gospel, you know, Jesus says, when the Spirit of truth comes, he's going to talk about me. He's going to remind you of things I said. He's going to, you know, he's going to teach about me. He's not going to teach about himself.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to, you know, he's going to take what's mine and give it to you.
Yeah.
So on Pentecost morning, these guys didn't go out and start talking about how awesome it was to be baptized in the Spirit. They went out and started talking about Jesus and how he had died for them.
Right.
Peter talked to these guys at the temple, and he didn't say, boy, you know what? I mean, I tell people all the time myself how awesome it was to be baptized in the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
These guys didn't do that. They went out and preached Jesus.
Yeah.
And here, you know, Philip, he's preaching Jesus to these people, and they're of one accord. You know, the unity of that comes from Psalm 133. Reminds me of a Paul Wilbur song, He Named My Toe.
It does.
We should have Steve sing that sometime, or we should play it sometime, because it's really cool. So these, there he goes, he's singing it. So in one accord, they're listening to Philip preach, and they're seeing all this cool stuff happen.
Yeah.
Woo, it's a break already.
You know.
I'm just getting revved up on Philip here. Anyway, remember, check out giftofgraceministries.org. We'll be right back.
With all creation, I sing praise to thee. You're listening to The Gift of Grace on AM 1220, The Word.
Well, welcome back to The Gift of Grace on The Word 1220. That wasn't Paul Wilbur.
No, that was Carrie Jobe. Wow. That was Paul singing like Carrie Jobe.
Oh, wow.
No, it wasn't.
That was nice. So, you know, so Jesus tells him, well, actually, the, you know, sort of middle part of the book of John is all about when the other paraclete comes, when the Spirit of Truth comes. And so now that the Spirit of Truth has come, we see the result of this. Mm-hmm. And when our friend Peter, though, still gets a little bit surprised once in a while because, you know, following this, when it says when the apostles in Jerusalem heard that people in Samaria were receiving the word, they said, we better go check this out.
Mm-hmm.
Now, of course, this is chapter 8, so Peter has been to Cornelius' house yet. That's not for a couple of more chapters.
That's true.
But anyway, so they went to go check this out. And so when they went there, they prayed that they would receive the Holy Spirit, the Samaritans, which, you know, this is pretty radical because they had been told the gospel, they had been baptized, and now Peter and John go there and they pray over them to receive the Holy Spirit. So they're doing, these guys are doing a totally different ministry than they had done or that they ever expected to do, because now they're open to what the Spirit is doing. They're not just kind of walking around in their own power, and they're actually laying hands on people. They're actually praying over people that, you know, in a way that we're used to doing that they wouldn't have done before. And they're used to now telling them the gospel. So in farther down in Acts chapter 8, you know, it says they laid hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you skipped over the Simon guy.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Do you want to talk about him?
Yeah, we can for a brief minute.
Sure.
Let's see. So there was this guy, Simon, who was claiming to be somebody great. And you always got to watch out for people who claim to be great.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And hey, he practiced sorcery.
Yeah. Pay attention to me. So they paid attention to him because he had astounded them by his magic for a long time. But once again, they began to believe Philip as he preached the good news about the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ. Men and women alike were baptized. Even Simon himself believed and, after being baptized, became devoted to Philip.
Yeah.
And when he saw the signs and mighty deeds that were occurring, he was astounded.
Mm-hmm.
Now, as you said, let's see, they said in here in verse 16, for it, the Holy Spirit had not yet fallen upon any of them. They had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Then they laid hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, when Jesus tells them, go out and baptize in the mm-hmm. name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, there's obviously a reason that the Lord said that, to baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy
mm-hmm.
Spirit.
Exactly.
Yeah. So when they're baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus, but when they lay hands upon them, they receive the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
The same Holy Spirit that came upon the apostles at Pentecost, the
yeah.
same Holy Spirit that came upon Jesus in the Jordan.
Mm-hmm.
And so now they are, this power from on high has been conferred to them.
Mm-hmm.
Now they're going to be disciples.
Yeah.
And now they're going to go out and preach and proclaim the good news.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's interesting, too, that Simon and we get the word Simony from this, but this guy Simon, it says he believed and he kind of hung out with Philip.
Mm-hmm.
But then, you know, when he sees all these miracles going,
yeah.
he says, you know what? I'll pay you guys if you can teach me how to do that. Or if you give me that power, I'll give you money.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it says he believed, but, you know, he hadn't really quite been converted. So the Peter says, I hope your money perishes with you.
Yeah.
Because you think God's gift can be purchased with money.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he tells them to repent of your wickedness.
Yeah.
and pray God if perhaps the thought of your heart may be forgiven you, for I see that you are poisoned by bitterness and bound by iniquity. Whoa.
Ooh, yeah.
See, at this point, Peter's not pulling any punches.
No.
This is not how our old Peter would have talked. And I think we were talking last week about by trying not to hurt people's feelings, you can prevent them from coming into the kingdom. You can prevent them from being saved.
Yeah.
Because here's a guy who thinks he can buy his way in.
Yeah. Let me buy this gift of God that's being outpoured upon people.
Do you guys take any major credit cards? I got money. I got credit cards.
Yeah. So he's asking, pray for me to the Lord that nothing of what you said may come upon me, so that when they had testified and proclaimed what the Lord, proclaimed the word of the Lord, they returned to Jerusalem and preached the good news to many Samaritan villages. So, this Simon, his heart wasn't in the right place.
Mm-hmm.
He started, he was astounded.
Yeah.
He saw the signs and mighty deeds that were occurring. He was astounded. But it didn't cause him to take off his former way and put on
Christ. Exactly. Excellent.
And this is where, praise the Lord.
Yeah.
And this is where, new believers and people that see the mighty acts of God when the Holy Spirit is outpoured in our day, the same challenge is still there.
Yeah, exactly.
You have people that fall to their knees and repent of their sins because they know and they firmly believe in their heart that what's happening is of God.
Mm-hmm.
And they receive that baptism of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
You also see people who don't want to give up their old self.
Mm-hmm.
They want to hang on to their old self, but they want this too.
Yes.
For their own personal gain.
Yes. There's certain things they want to hang on to.
Yeah.
Yeah, you see that happen. I'm sure you've seen it happen many times.
And, that's when really as a disciple, we really do need to use some discernment and do just as Peter does here.
Mm-hmm.
You have to repent because what's in your heart is not from God.
Yeah, exactly.
I
was reminded of a teaching I heard one time about when somebody comes to your house and you say, oh, just make yourself at home. You don't really mean that. You want him to make himself at home in that room where he's sitting.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want him like looking in your closets and going up in the bedroom, and you don't want him looking around in your basement. So you don't really mean that, because some of the stuff you say, you can have freedom in this room. So it's just like you can say, I'm surrendered to the Lord, but I'm not going to give up all of this stuff. I'm just going to give up this room.
Mm-hmm.
And the rest of this stuff, this is my stuff. He can have this room.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah.
And that's, I think you were saying that pretty awesomely.
Mm-hmm.
And, when I was talking about Philip being transported, but we probably should go down a little bit more since we're talking about Philip and he's got such a nice name. I could be allowed to call him Phil since my name's Philip too.
You could.
Yeah.
I think he would allow, he might allow that.
I think he might.
Yeah.
And he's Philip with one L like he's supposed to be. If you're a Philip with two L's, just forget about it. But anyway, so, interestingly too.
We're not even going to get into Stephen.
So, interestingly too about Philip is, the story with the Ethiopian guy. And you all know the story, but just to summarize it, he comes across this guy from the Ethiopian court who's reading from the prophet Isaiah. And, he's sitting in this chariot and he's reading the prophet Isaiah.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this would be like in our time, you'd walk by somebody's car and you'd look in and they were reading the prophet Isaiah. Now, if you saw that happen nowadays, you'd think that was pretty weird. But of course, I'd stick my head in and go, oh, this part's really awesome. He's my favorite major prophet.
Well, it's awesome what happens because Philip is instructed by the Holy Spirit to go and join up with that chariot.
Exactly.
catch up to it.
Exactly. And the guy doesn't understand what he's reading.
Yeah, Philip asked him, do you understand what you're reading?
Yeah. How can I? You know, how can I understand this? So what he's reading is about the sheep led to the slaughter from Isaiah 53. I mean, this is the ultimate passage of the suffering Messiah, the suffering servant. This is the only part of the prophets that's never read in the modern synagogue and hasn't been, you know. There's a cycle of readings, as you probably know, and you go through the whole Torah in 1 year, and then you go through cycles of the prophets, but Isaiah 52 and 53 is never read. You can ask one of your observant Jewish friends. They'll confirm that.
Yeah.
And interestingly, when you read it, and I really recommend you read it about 17 times, and you should read it pretty often because it's clearly about the Messiah suffering and, you know, life's going to be taken. And so the guy doesn't understand it. You know, modern observant Jews don't understand it. Mm-hmm. So the guy doesn't understand it. He says, well, what's this guy talking about? He's talking about himself. He's talking about some other man. You know, then you see in verse 35, if you have it in front of you, it says, then Philip opened his mouth and beginning at this scripture, preached Jesus to him. So in other words, he had just preached, it says he preached Jesus to the Samaritans. Now he's on this road. Now he preaches Jesus to this one guy who's in a chariot reading the prophet Isaiah.
Yeah.
And Philip says, well, what do you think? He goes, well, I don't get it. So then he preaches Jesus to him, and he says, wow, now I get this. Can you baptize me while we're at? And Philip baptizes him there on the side of the road.
Yeah, they're traveling along. The eunuch said, look, there is water. What's to prevent me from being baptized?
Yeah.
So they stop, have a roadside baptism.
Yeah, roadside baptism. It's pretty
and
cool.
The Holy Spirit comes down upon him. He's filled with the Spirit.
Yeah.
And interestingly enough, it says the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away. And the eunuch saw him no more, but continued on his way rejoicing.
Woo.
Wow.
Yeah, you know, he got transported.
Philip, I need you to baptize somebody over there in, where is this? The eunuch is,
he's Ethiopian.
In Ethiopian. This Ethiopian person. And then he's done with that. New assignment.
Yeah. And this is something I'm sure all of you have heard it. I'm sure, Steve, you've heard it. I've heard it a million times where people say to you, you know, I read the Bible, but I don't get it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand what it means.
Yeah.
You know, and this is what this Ethiopian guy's reading this going, I don't get it.
I don't understand.
What's this mean?
I need somebody to explain it to me.
Yeah. And then when Philip, who's filled with the Spirit, since the Holy Spirit is the author, explains it to him, he says, I want to be baptized. So another guy gets saved.
And what does he do? He proclaims Jesus to him.
Yes, exactly.
He doesn't go into anything about Isaiah having 66 chapters
exactly.
And being a great, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he doesn't. Well,
he doesn't say it's my favorite major prophet.
No, he doesn't say that. He doesn't say that. He could. He could have, you know, he could have slipped that in there, though.
Yeah.
He's got 66 chapters, you know.
Yeah.
Not like some of these other guys that only have three or four. No, he talks about. He proclaims Jesus to him.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're seeing a pattern here.
Mm-hmm.
Day of Pentecost, what does Peter do? Proclaims Jesus to them. Yeah. Acts chapter 3, man at the gate beautiful. Yeah. What does he do?
Preaches Jesus.
Gold
to
or
them.
Silver we don't have, but in the name of Jesus, arise and walk.
Yeah.
Preaches Jesus to them.
Yeah.
Then everybody's amazed at that, and he preaches Jesus to all those people that are in the synagogue.
Yeah.
Philip preaches Jesus to him.
Yeah. Yep.
Common thread.
Yep.
I think we're on to something.
Yep. And again, this fulfills what Jesus says in John's gospel about how when the Spirit comes, he's going to testify about me.
Yeah.
He's going to give you what's mine.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to be ready to preach, you know, in Acts 1 and at the end of the gospels, he says, don't try to do anything on your own. Wait here. Until you're clothed with power, then you can be my witnesses because now they know how to be his witnesses. You know, this is the plan of salvation that, as we say, the cross is the center.
Mm-hmm.
So Jesus says the Holy Spirit's going to come. Now, remember, they don't have a good concept of the Trinity.
Right.
I mean, they're right. They don't even know, like, exactly what he's talking about.
Yeah. this is all brand new to them.
Exactly. But what he does tell them is, when the Spirit comes, then you're going to go out and talk about me.
Yeah.
So now, as you just summarized, we're seeing this happen with Peter, then Philip, all of them.
Well, as you just said, if you think about it, this is 40 days or 50 days after Jesus was ascended into heaven.
Mm-hmm.
Or, when he rose from the dead. So from the time that they were walking with Jesus and they had the Passover meal.
Mm-hmm.
Till now isn't a very long period of time.
Exactly.
I mean, you know, it's
a couple of months, maybe.
Couple of months.
Yeah.
So for them to really try and wrap their own minds around this, mm-hmm. as things are changing day by day and fast,
mm-hmm.
it's pretty astounding
mm-hmm.
that they are just so open to what the Spirit of God wants them to do.
Yeah.
I mean, because they could easily say, oh, you know what? That's not what we were taught when we were growing up. We can't be doing this, but they see the power of God,
yeah.
and they move with it,
yeah.
And they, you know, but they're transformed. They're transformed by the grace and power of the Holy Spirit. But a lot has changed for them.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to, you know, they're going about and proclaiming Jesus and Him crucified
mm-hmm.
to the nations now,
and that's the center of it.
Yeah.
Oh, this is awesome.
And, you know, I was going to say, you know, that ride that they're on when Philip is talking to this eunuch must have been awesome, because now he wants to be baptized.
Yeah. And Philip disappears.
Yeah.
Ooh, remember, check out GiveTheGraceMinistries.org. Let's listen to this awesome song.
With you I will go.
You're listening to The Gift of Grace on AM 1220, The Word.
Well, welcome back to The Gift of Grace on The Word 1220. Not only do you automatically love that song, well, let me just say that, and Stephen does a tremendous version of that song.
I do.
Yeah, except you're just not as famous as Paul Wilbur, but anyway.
That's true.
Paul's a friend of ours, so we can kid around about
that's
that.
That's true.
But if you go to the website, giftofgraceministries.org, and look under the heading that says teaching, there's a teaching that I did on the Song of Songs, which is there in audio form. And I think the notes are there, too. But the audio form, I think you'll really like. But anyway, Stephen was bringing up an excellent point during the break. Go ahead. Why don't you start with that?
Let's see.
Whatever it was.
We were talking about how they're just preaching Jesus to these people.
Mm-hmm.
Philip, Peter,
yep,
and the rest of the disciples. They're not getting into debates about the law, about, you know, is it a synagogue? Is it a church? Is it a congregation?
Yeah.
Is it a service?
Yeah.
They're not getting into all these debates about all these terminologies.
Should we use the word Christ or the word Messiah?
Yeah. They're not getting into any of that.
Yeah.
That arises a little bit later.
Yep.
But the point is, we can get into those same debates, which are prevalent in our culture today, mm-hmm, within different denominations, mm-hmm, and across denominational lines. The essential part is, it's Jesus who won the victory over sin and death.
Exactly.
We share in it.
Exactly.
But we fight over it. You know, it's like when you think about how the covenant was made with Abram.
Mm-hmm.
Abram cut the animals in half.
Mm-hmm.
Then he falls asleep. God passes through through the halves of the animals. It's a flaming torch.
Yeah.
What did Abraham do? Not much.
Not much. He's asleep.
He's asleep.
And God makes the covenant.
God makes the covenant.
Through blood.
Yeah. So the same thing is here. Who makes the covenant? God does through his son Jesus. Jesus is the one up on the cross. Jesus is the one that's hands and feet are being pierced and his side is being pierced and he's bleeding to death. It's not any of us.
Yeah.
Yet, you know, the churches today, we can tend to get into all these debates and even bicker about,
mm-hmm,
different things that really aren't, you know, are they essential? Most of them probably aren't.
Mm-hmm. The cross is essential.
Main point, as I was going to say, is the main point is that Jesus is the essential element of all of this.
That's right.
Without Jesus, without the cross, without his crucifixion, without his death and resurrection, without the coming of the Holy Spirit, none of this happens.
That's right. Exactly.
And that's why I firmly believe that, you know, the more that we study, the more we do the show, the essence of the teaching of the apostles at this point in time, the early church, is really what the church needs to get back to.
Yeah.
Christ and him crucified, because outside of that, you can get lost.
You can get lost in the forest.
Yeah.
And then forget where you're even going.
Yeah, because without it, you don't have a message.
Yeah. I mean, when Philip's preaching to the Samaritans, he can say, well, you know what? You guys, okay, you have the books of Moses, but, you know, you guys are missing. I see you don't have a book of Habakkuk. And because you don't have all these other things that we have, you better bone up on some of that or else I can't tell you anything about the Messiah. So it says he preached Jesus to them.
Yeah.
And, you know, Philip's talking to the Ethiopian,
mm-hmm,
who's not a Jew.
Right.
And says to him, I'm going to tell you what this means. He doesn't say, well, you know what? If you want to come back to Jerusalem with me, we'll get you hooked up in a, you know, kind of religion class. So we'll teach you about Judaism. Then you can get washed in the mikveh bath, and then you can come out and talk to the chief priest.
Yeah.
And then you can say, okay, I'm a Jew from now on, and then we'll tell you about Jesus.
Yeah.
Because he told them about Jesus.
Right there on the spot.
Right there on the spot. And the guy says, I want to be baptized right on the spot. So this guy, you know, he's sitting in a chariot. Philip encounters him, and the guy comes to faith in Jesus, gets baptized. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is a pretty good day for him.
Yeah.
And an awesome none of day these for guys. Him. And Peter, like you pointed out last time or a couple of shows ago, when Peter's preaching to these people, he doesn't say, oh, you guys better get yourselves up to the temple and you better make an appointment to see some Levitical priest and go over this.
Right.
No, he says, repent, be converted, be baptized.
Yeah.
Come to faith in this. And, you know, he tells the other group so that your sins will be blotted out.
Exactly. You know, does Philip go into a long dissertation about repentance and forgiveness and all this stuff?
No.
No. I mean, sometimes you have to. Sometimes you might have to.
Yeah.
But the essence is this eunuch is, you know, I get the sense like his heart was burning.
Yeah.
Like the two disciples on the road to Emmaus.
That's right.
Jesus is proclaiming to them everything that pertains to him in the scriptures from Moses on.
Yeah.
And their hearts are burning within them.
Yeah.
And I get the sense that, you know, when Philip was proclaiming Jesus to this guy, his heart's just on fire.
Exactly.
He's like, man, there's water. Let's do it. I want to be baptized.
I want to be baptized now. Why should I wait till next week?
Is there a need to talk with him about repentance of, you know, all this stuff? No, he's ready.
He's ready. And, you know, these guys are preaching with boldness.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you see the difference after Pentecost, of course. Mm-hmm. When they're filled with the Spirit, they're bold about it now. They're not hiding somewhere thinking the leaders are going to come after them. They frankly don't care if the leaders come after them now.
Exactly.
They preach Jesus, and they lay hands on people, and the Spirit's imparted to people. They preach boldly about it.
Mm-hmm.
And interestingly, you know, John the Baptist had said, you know, I'm baptizing you with water, but the one who's come is going to baptize you in the Holy Spirit.
And with fire.
So when these guys got baptized in the Holy Spirit and fire, woo, everything changed. I can't believe the show's over. I got more stuff. Anyway, I hope you've had an awesome Lord's Day.
And we just pray that you would come to faith in Jesus the Messiah, as this eunuch did, traveling with Philip in his chariot. God bless everyone. Have a great week. You've been listening to The Gift of Grace with Phil Giliotti and Stephen Garchar. Phil and Steve will be back next week when they will once again teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Thanks and God bless.